It is 9:03, May 23rd, 2012. I will call the City Council meeting to order this morning. Doing our invocation is our Dallas Fire Department Officer Cress Whitaker, and doing our pledge is Lorena Mata. We've got a great story to tell after we do that, but Mr. Whitaker, if you'd come forward and do the invocation and help Lorena to do the pledge, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Can you bow your heads, please? I thank you, God, for our federal, state, county, city governments and the freedoms that we derive from them. As we begin this council meeting today, it's my prayer that we will, that you will guide and direct our civic leaders in such a way that they can make decisions that will glorify and honor you. It's been said that when the tide rises, all ships and vessels are elevated. So my prayer is that you will raise the tide at this council meeting in such a way that all those involved can be elevated. And we thank you for the courage demonstrated by these two young girls that we're honoring here today. These things I pray in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Wayne, will you come to the microphone? There we go. Thank you. Can you do the pledge?
We pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And you stay right there. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a great story, and I would like Judge Hill to kind of tell us what happened. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Lorena. And thank you, Officer Whitaker. This morning, Mayor, Council, and members of the public, I am most pleased to honor this young woman and her sister, and Ms. Mitrano is going to help me because Mom and Dad do not speak English, so I will go a bit slowly. On March the 14th of 2012,
el día 14 de este año,
Mrs. Maria Mata, who is Lorena's mom,
la señora Mata, que es la mamá de Marta,
became extremely ill to the point that she needed medical attention immediately.
La señora se enfermó y necesitaba ayuda de emergencia.
Her husband, Mr. Ronaldo Rodriguez, was at work.
Su esposo, el señor Rodriguez, estaba en su trabajo, se estaban trabajando.
The two children, Lorena, who is 8 years old,
Los dos niños, Lorena, que tiene 8 años,
and Adia, who is 3 years old,
y Adia, que tiene 3 años,
were at home with their mother.
Estaban en su casa con su mamá.
When their mother became ill and could not call 911 herself,
cuando su mamá estaba muy grave y no podía llamar por ayuda o a la emergencia,
the girls called 911.
Las niñas llamaron al 911.
The responding station was Fire Station 46.
La casa de los bomberos o la emergencia era la casa 46.
Rescue 46 and Engine 46 arrived and transported Mrs. Mata to the hospital.
Llegaron los bomberos y transportaron a la señora Mata al hospital.
However, that left the two young children in the very, very unfortunate situation of being alone
con esta situación, la niña de las dos niñas, bueno, estaban en la situación que iban a estar solitas.
And not knowing what was happening with their mother.
Y en este caso, las dos niñas no sabían qué tan grave estaba la mamá y en verdad no sabían bastante de la situación.
Commendably, the engine crew remained with the children.
Los bomberos que varios se quedaron con las niñas para cuidarlas hasta que otro adulto llegaran a su casa.
Lorena contacted her father at work.
Lorena le llamó a su papá al trabajo.
He arrived home shortly thereafter.
El papá llegó un poquito después.
During the time that Engine 46 was waiting for the father to get home,
los bomberos que se quedaron con las niñas de la casa 46,
they encouraged the girls and assured the girls that they had done a brave and courageous thing.
Los bomberos que se quedaron con las niñas les dieron ánimo y confianza que en verdad hicieron un gran favor a su mamá y bueno, les dieron sus confianzas a las niñas.
The girls were very happy once they realized that they had saved their mother's life.
Las niñas muy gustosas y los bomberos les dieron las felicidades porque en verdad estas dos niñas salvaron a su madre.
Therefore, this morning I am most pleased, Lorena, to recognize you.
Lorena, la señora concejal Vancell Hill y con todo el apoyo del consejo aquí, quería dar las felicidades a ti por tu gran ayuda de tu mamá y porque en verdad pensaste primero de llamar al 911 para ayudarle a tu mamá.
Listen, I know you said a little bit more than I said, but that's all right.
Well, I added that the council I know you did.
I know you did. I know what you said, Mitrano. Also, I want to recognize the Dallas Fire Rescue personnel who assisted.
A este momento la señora Hill le quiere reconocer a los bomberos de la casa 46 por su ayuda y en verdad ayudándole a la señora Mata, pero en verdad ayudándoles y en verdad darle los consejos a los niños, a las niñas y por su gran esfuerzo de ayudar a toda la familia de la Mata.
The names of the Dallas Fire Rescue members are, and if you raise your hand as I call your name, Jesse Lee, John Moore, Lieutenant Cress Whitaker, Dwayne Akins, Colette Johnson III, Cress Whitaker II, and Ray Edwards. Thank you, each and every one. I will ask you to please remain for a moment. We're going to take care of another activity, but if you will please remain, I want to get some pictures right after we take care of the other activity. Thank you so much, and I hope other children are encouraged to reach out and to know that the uniformed personnel are there to help. Thank you.
Señora Mata, por favor, si se puede sentar, vamos a discutir unas cositas, pero la señora Hill quiere tomar unas fotos con su familia y con los bomberos. Por favor, gracias.
Thank you, Ms. Hill. Thank you, Ms. Medrano. Thank you to the Dallas Fire and Rescue officers for your professionalism in bringing this to our attention. It's great to hear of little heroines like this in our city. Thank you very much. I have often said that Dallas is a great city, I believe, because of our great people. And there are many of them in this room today. People have spent so much time making our city better. I'm sad to announce that on Monday afternoon, Dallas lost one of those great people. With the death of Jeff West, a member of this community for many, many years, who has helped the arts community, who helped bring the Sixth Floor Museum to the high caliber that it is to this day, and has helped launch our new Omni Convention Hotel, passed away, and we lost a very special individual. Not only was he professional, and not only did he do a great job, but he was a close friend to many people at this around this horseshoe, and many people and many friends throughout this city. So with that, I would like to take a moment of silence in memory of Jeff West. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, Ms. Owen.
Mr. Mayor, if I could ask you and any other members of the council who would like to join the family and the firefighters for a quick picture.
Okay, why don't we do that now, and then we'll so we can pay attention to our speakers.
Oh, excuse me.
Va el concilio ahorita para tomar el retrato que dijeron hace unos momentos. Si se pueden parar, por favor.
Thank you. We will now call our open microphone speakers. Ms. Rios.
Can I be first? Can I be first?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Ms. Alonzo. Ms. Alonzo wanted to say something.
Thank you, Mayor. I wanted to recognize the National Hispanic Council on Aging from Washington, D.C., who is visiting us here today in Dallas, Texas, at Bachman Lake Recreation Center. So we want to welcome them. They are doing an open forum and sharing a lot of good information with our senior citizens, so I wanted to welcome them. And, Mayor, I don't know if you got a note from Ms. Delia Hasso that her daughter graduated, but I also wanted to indicate that my nephew graduates tomorrow. from Harvard University with a master's in education. So I want to congratulate him as well as every one of the students that are graduating this year. And I believe in Dallas Independent School District, there are 7,034 that are graduating from high school. So congratulations to all, especially District 6 residents. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Ms. Alonzo. Ms. Hasso.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Councilwoman Alonzo. Yes, my daughter graduated on Friday and Saturday at George Mason. They have two events where they can watch not only the other classmates getting their Bachelor of Arts, but they can also watch the people getting their master's degrees, and they also watch the people getting their PhDs. So they aspire for their next two graduations. But I did attend yesterday the graduation of the Trini Garza Early Childhood High School, Early College High School at Mountain View. And there were 46 students who not only got their high school degree, they got their associate's degree for attending that high school. So I want to congratulate them again. Absolutely. That was a job well done. And congratulate all of the graduates this year in the city of Dallas. And to let you know, there is hope. But it's a big accomplishment. Thank you.
Okay. Madam Secretary.
Thank you. We're going to begin your morning speakers with Verlin Harmon, Sammy L. Bowden, Mellon West, F.J. Messina, Jr. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant at Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer at the podium. When the time is up, please allow the next individual their turn. There is a handout being provided on behalf of Mr. Harmon. If you would please step up, state your name and address for the record.
I'm Verlin Harmon. I live at 7929 Woodstone Lane in Dallas, 75248. Honorable Mayor, City Council, Mary Schoom, Sandy Grayson, and all of you, and you'll find an element of pride in you this morning and in the many workers that have served me over the years in the streets, in the fire trucks, in the police cars, and in all elements wherein our 54 years as a family, 55 years as residents of Dallas, we have lived 45 years in the same neighborhood and also in the same home. My support has grown very strong of recent 5 years in an area dealing with the alley condition over the last 15 years. While serving in our neighborhood, 453 families, and also I have served on the Volunteers in Patrol, which is we call the VIP, which has been trained by and coordinated by what I feel is the finest police department in the world. And secondly, our pride stems over the fact to the potential of the city of Dallas of being the friendliest city in the world and also being the most progressive city in the world. We accomplish that by our citizen support and by our hard work along with you who expand far beyond the call of duty. In the past 3 years, our volunteers in patrol have noticed the degradement of our alleys, and we've become concerned about all the alleys across the city of Dallas. We submitted a map to our councilperson, Sandy, and that map identifies that 80% of our alleys have not been restructured in any way since 45 years ago. That's when they were built. We show the most critical areas on that map. We've attended town hall meetings and tried to gain as much information as possible, and surprised to find that the alleys have no budget and no place identified in that for streets. And my support, and I come in here to support, not to criticize, never, but to work with you to attempt to try to find the means by which our financial structure can include our alleys. We repair our alleys by putting blacktop on them, but we've got some factors that cause that to degrade within 3 weeks. Our alleys are the most traveled thoroughfares in our neighborhood other than the school streets. That's because we now have those garbage trucks and the recycle trucks, which are four times the weight for which those alleys were designed, and their wheels protrude 1 foot beyond the side of the alleys. My appeal is for support, and that support would be for our Fine City employees who do their best, many far beyond the call of duty, and no identified source of funds. We request work to support this fine city as we build a funding structure that provides this element that makes us the finest city in the world. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Herman, where exactly is Woodstone Lane? I don't know that street.
That street?
Yeah.
Woodstone Lane.
Where do you live?
Yes, 7929. It is off in that quadrant of Point and Beltline.
Got it. Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome. Thank you.
Ms. Grayson?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Harmon? Mr. Harmon? Hi, Vernon. I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming down and explaining how that situation impacts your neighborhood and how you all feel about it. Thank you. And I wanted to also tell the council that his wife, Julia, was a longtime third-grade teacher in the Richardson School District and taught my younger son, David, when he was in third grade. So say hi to Julia, and thank you so much for coming down.
Your next speaker is Sammy L. Bolden. Sammy Bolden? Not present. Melon West? Please step up to the podium, sir. You may state your name and address for the record.
I have some flyers for the to share with
you. If you would please hand them to the left, to the security officer, please. Oh, you're right.
Is the clock ticking?
State your name and address for the record, sir.
Hi, my name is Melon West. My address is 7027 East Grand Avenue in Dallas, District 14. I'm a homeowner in the Hollywood Heights Conservation District. I'm also a member of the nonprofit North Texas Renewable Energy Group. NTREG's mission is to educate the public about renewable energy and conservation. I address you today as a private citizen of Dallas who's concerned about gas drilling in the city limits. Natural gas energy should be part of a balanced energy portfolio as we move towards clean, renewable energy. But I'm concerned that the state and the nation, as a state and a nation, we might run out of water before we run out of gas. Unlike cities that get their water from wells, Dallas relies on area reservoirs for water so that the risk of water contamination to the citizens of Dallas is limited. But has the council considered the energy it takes to pump that water from area lakes, purify it, and deliver it to drilling operations that will render it unfit for future consumption? I suggest that drillers pay a surcharge for this limited one-time use or recycle the frack water. The gas industry is slowly working on ways to recycle frack water. There are several promising technologies. Omni Water Solutions in Austin has a mobile recycling system, and Devon Energy has a pilot project in Denton County. Regrettably, it's cheaper for the drillers to use local water supplies than to recycle. Increased water consumption fees could stimulate drillers to adopt a recycling in favor of waste and set a new standard for the nation. At the very least, mandate future water recycling requirements with penalties for noncompliance. What steps have you considered to prevent drilling companies from filling up tanker trucks and shipping our drinking water to fracking operations outside of the city, and drilling operations in the Trinity floodplain? I oppose all drilling operations in the Trinity floodplain due to the risk of downstream contamination. This risk was not even considered by the Dallas Task Force, a staggering oversight in my opinion. If there is a release of toxic waste, who will pay when the folks downstream demand restitution? Take a look at the picture of gas drilling sites and pictures of the frequent flooding in the Trinity. Next, imagine trucks and tank farms full of toxic fluids that in the plain forced downstream by the current, spilling undisclosed contents as they were carried by the floodwaters. Who gets the bill for that mess? Council member Cadane was reassured when the task force told him the toxic contents at drill sites will be contained. I don't share his optimism. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is F.J. Masinga Jr. F.J. Masinga Jr. That concludes your speakers, Mr. Mayor. He's not present.
Thank you. Let's visit item number one.
Thank you. Item number one is approval of minutes of the May 9, 2012 City Council meeting.
Second. We've got a motion and a second. Any edits, discussions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Next for your consideration, you have the consent agenda. Your consent agenda consists of items number 2 through 38 and addendum items number 1 through 9. However, addendum item number 8 has been pulled this morning for individual consideration by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins, and item number 2 has been put back on the consent for consideration. So you will be considering agenda items number 2 through 38 and addendum items number 1 through 7 and addendum item number 9.
Thank you. Do we have a motion? We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any questions, comments, additions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
For your consideration, item number 39 is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. You have the following chair nominations by Mayor Rawlings: Jack John Wierzynski as chair for the Reinvestment Zone 4 Board Cedars Area, Robert L. Good as chair for the Reinvestment Zone 5 Board City Center and Reinvestment Zone 11 Board Downtown Connection, Herbert Goodman as chair to the Reinvestment Zone 7 Board Sports Arena, and John W. Miller to the Reinvestment Zone 12 Board Deep Ellum. Those are your nominees this morning.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. As well, in accordance to Chapter 12A, Section 19F1G2 of the Dallas City Code, Code of Ethics, I'm required to notify the City Council officially at a council meeting that you do have one board appointee, Ward Richmond, to the RZ18 Cypress Waters that did not file his financial disclosure report. Thank you. The next item for your consideration is item number 40. Authorize number 1, preliminary adoption of the fiscal year 2012-2013 consolidated plan budget for U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development grant funds in an estimated amount of $25,942,114 for the following programs and estimated amounts: community development block grant in the amount of $15,755,740. B, home investment partnerships programs in the amount of $4,750,686. C, housing opportunities for persons with AIDS in the amount of $4,060,375. And D, emergency solutions grant in the amount of $1,375,313. Number 2, preliminary adoption of the fiscal year 2011-2012 reprogramming budget in the amount of $1,335,137. And number 3, a public hearing to be held on June 13, 2012 on the proposed use of funds.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Davis.
I'd like to make a motion to approve item number 40 with the following amendments to attachment A and column F. I would like to reduce line 5 for the clinical dental care program by $14,060. Reduce line 13 for the training and employment for adults and disability program by $3,515. That's a total of $17,575. And then I would like to increase line number 4 for the arts education program for $17,575.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion, questions? Mr. Medrano.
Yes, on a couple of these, on the amendments or that Ms. Davis is saying, how long has the board been discussing the budget? And I mean, I know that they've worked really, really hard all year on this, so maybe staff, if
we can give you the processes.
Mm-hmm.
As you remember, the CDC, the city manager gives to the CDC a recommended budget. The CDC adjusts it the way they think it needs to be adjusted, and then it's brought to you all. And this amendment reflects how the budget was brought to the CDC. They changed it at the CDC. So the city manager recommends the CDBG budget, and then the CDC looks at it and makes the changes they want to make, and then it goes forward to y'all. This is the change that was made in the budget at the CDC.
Correct.
And they've been working on it for months.
That's what I'm saying. And then are all the appointees appointed by council members? I mean,
are all the positions
filled? Yeah, are all the positions filled?
No. There are a couple of vacancies.
I just wanted to know how long have they been working on this, and then I know Ms. Davis, you had brought this up at the last meeting, but had this been brought up at CDC before these amendments?
Please get the microphone.
The Community Development Commission made their amendments at their April 4th meeting.
I'm sorry, repeat that.
The amendments to the city manager's proposed budget was made at the April monthly CDC meeting.
And there were no objections at that point?
None at that meeting.
It's just really hard to do this when we see that our appointees have worked really hard on this commission to do what they think is best, and then they have public hearings as well, and then we come in at the end to change it up. It's nothing against what you're doing. I just think they've been working really, really hard on this commission, and then we come in at the end to do these changes. So just my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Hasso.
Thank you, Mayor. And I sort of have the same concern as Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, that, you know, we appoint a community development commission, of which I served on in the 80s, to help us with these budget numbers. And, you know, they work tirelessly at no pay to make sure that they bring to us something that they all could support. So now tell me again, what does this amendment do? Because we sat with you, Jean, and you, Councilmember Alonzo, and I sat with you to see what we could do to increase funding in certain areas, and you couldn't come up with anything that we could take money away from, and now we have an amendment that's reducing amounts and increasing other amounts. So tell me again what that $17,000 will do.
This amendment is in the public services category, and because of the federal cap, any changes within that have to stay within that category.
I understand, but what are we decreasing?
We are decreasing funds to the amendment to the dental health program
by
$14,060.
$3,000?
$14,000.
$14,000, okay. And you're reducing what else?
the Training and Employment for Adults with Disabilities program, and that's being reduced by $3,515.
Okay, so it's $17,000 total. And where is that $17,000 going?
It is going to the Arts Pro Education program.
And is there a certain group that's getting that money?
It is a competitive process. There have been providers in the past, but once again, if these funds are in the budget, they will be bid out, and there's an RFP process.
Yeah, I'm very, very concerned that we're taking money away from training for adults with disabilities, and we're taking away $14,000 from, say that again, dental?
The dental health program.
So I'm very, very concerned. I don't think that money should be taken away from them. I think if there's a group that needs $17,000, we should look for it somewhere else, and we should leave the budget the way it was presented to us by the CDC. So I'll be voting against this amendment.
Ms. Alonzo?
Can you tell me how the commissioners voted on these items?
There was a unanimous vote at the meeting, at their April meeting.
So they agreed, they all agreed, including all the, I'm sorry, you indicated that there were certain vacancies.
Yes.
From what areas you said in that commission?
At the April 4th meeting.
No. My question is, how many vacancies are in the commission right now?
Four.
And from what districts?
That would be District 3, District 4, District 13, and District 7.
Okay. But everybody else that was represented voted unanimously for this, and this is an item that was discussed because they do work on it for a while, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Well, one more question. I'm sorry. I want to understand correctly because I'm trying to make sure I look at it. It's being proposed to reduce the dental for 14, and it is 14, no? So it's the zero.
Well, currently, the dental health program, the recommended amount for this current year, it was $100,000. Because of the reduction in the grant, that program was reduced to 84. Because of the reduction to the grant, that amount was reduced to $85,940. This $14,000 restores it back to the current year funding of $100,000.
No, you said to reduce it, no? Being reduced from the dental. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Alonzo. Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I also wanted to point out the numbers. With Ms. Davis's amendment, adult dental is still covered, isn't that correct?
It does receive $85,940.
And with the training and employment, how much would be left for that?
$21,485.
So those two line items are still covered in significant amounts. It's not as if they went to zero. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Colleagues, I appreciate what the commissioners do, and my commissioner certainly sits there, but final responsibility for this budget is with the council. And I do not believe it is inappropriate for the council to make any necessary changes that it believes needs to be made. I don't believe there's another place that this $17,000 could be funded for arts education. I don't believe there's any money in the general fund for that. Is there, Ms. Hill?
No, ma'am.
Well, I'm hearing people saying, well, yes, there is, but I don't believe there is, and Ms. Thome has just assured me that there's not. And so I'm going to be supporting your motion, Ms. Davis. Clearly, since I seconded it, I'm going to support your motion for this very small amount to go to arts education. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor. And I would first agree with Ms. Hill. One, we do have, from what I've heard this morning, we do have boards and commissions and the planning commission that work extremely hard and work on our behalf, and they spend many hours going through issues that the final disposition of rests with the city council. It is also not something that I feel that we should just stamp and say, well, because the board did this, then we are automatically obligated to do X. At the end of the day, as related to the disabilities, and I, no one has worked hard on that but more than Mr. Allen, and I've been there as a counterpart. I have concerns in that area, and I think that in discussing with Ms. Davis, she has rectified, is willing to rectify that. And so anything that deals with disabilities, it gives me heartburn, and I think that that is going to be taken care of, and we'll hear that from Ms. Davis. So with that, as relate to the amount of money, no one, I mean, we all support the dentistry and our senior dentistry program. It is not, as Ms. Hill has stated, something that has went to zero, and we're still in the early phases of discussing our budget. I think if things continue to move forward, we will probably find some money, and there will be other things that we will restore. If this was something that we were taking completely off the table, then I would not be favorable of it moving forward. This is still early stages of a process, and we have an opportunity to come back and re-rectify things. So, Ms. Davis, I'm going to be supportive of Ms. Davis. She will speak, and it stands true that the disability portion of it is subtracted out of this amendment, then I will be supporting Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. You know, number one, I am for the arts, and I believe the budget for the city manager proposed to us was the $85,000. That was money there, and the $14,000 was a different. I'm not going to repeat what everybody said. I was going to kind of turn it over to Ms. Davis. Ms. Davis, will you be willing to defer this to this afternoon for everyone to discuss it and kind of do it and come back this afternoon the first time to vote on this item? I do understand that Ms. Medrano and Ms. Delahanto and some people saying here that they was not aware of the situation. They can get with the city manager and just bring it back this afternoon. I mean, it's your, I'm just asking.
Well, at this point, what I would like to do is to have line 13 reduced. And then that would give the young Shan her what? How much would that be? That would that be $14,060 once we reduce the $3,000?
Correct.
Okay. So I would like to reduce the $3,515. Just reduce it, meaning take it out completely. And then in the arts education program, then it will leave a $14,060.
Well, if you do that, if there would be a friendly amended to your motion, I would be glad to support that right now, you know, with the $14,000, because I am supporting the arts, and I cannot turn my back, you know, again, money going to the arts, you know. I said on the committee, but I'm going to support the arts, so. If with that, I would be glad to, if that's a friendly amendment, to take the 13 out for training. I think we need a training to be there.
Okay. Let's
do a little housekeeping here, So I'm going to ask Mr. Atkins to make that amendment.
That's
and we'll get it. Okay, so your amendment is...
Amendment would be take the 3,000...
No, let me just... Your amendment is to approve item 40 with the first line item.
First line, that's correct.
Okay. And increase the arts education program by then how much?
$14,060, and leave $3,515 at the training in the employment for disabilities.
All right. So we have you accepted that amendment, Ms.
Yes, I did.
Ms. Davis, okay. So now we've got a new motion on the table, and we'll have that discussion. Ms. Margolin.
Thank you, Mayor. I think it's important to point out that the Cultural Affairs Commission has a process of funding arts organizations. We give a lot of money to Big Thought, which does educate youth in the arts, and many other organizations that part of their mission is arts education for youth. So I think it's important to put that out there. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. McGrano.
Thank you very much. And I think that we all have to just sit back and think about, and thank you for that comment, Ms. Margolin, but I think that we have to make sure that the commission had, and know that the commission had to make a painful decision between health and jobs versus the arts. And right now, I mean, we've got a lot of people that need, dental health. Dental health just is paramount to, you know, a lot of other health issues. So I think it was, I think they had a hard job. CDC had a very hard job in doing this, and sometimes they have to make the very painful decisions. And this was dental health and jobs versus the arts. And so I'm going to have to vote against this. It's painful for me, but I think right now in these times, and I think that we've got to make tough choices, and this is one of the tough choices we have to make at City Hall.
Thank you, Ms. McGrano. Ms. Hill, I need you to accept that motion. You did. Okay, so we've got that for the record. Thank you, Ms. Hasso.
Thank you, Mayor. On the second round, I just wanted to reiterate again that, as Ms. Margolin said, we've got many, many ways to fund arts, and we're looking for more, certainly through the private sector. I don't think this is the time that we take money away from dental health, especially if that's going to seniors. Many times what's going on in their mouths affects the rest of their health, and so I would not take away any money away from dental health and keep it at $100,000, and that's not enough at that point either. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Hassel. Mr. Atkins? Okay, you already spoke. Let me, Ms. Carraway.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Maybe what we, and this is just a thought, and I go back to Mr. Atkins, Mayor and Ms. Davis and Council, if we could have a little while to maybe discuss this thing and maybe come back. And let me just be honest and tell you one thing as related to the arts. I have, and I'm speaking of myself, I have supported the arts 100% since I have been on the Dallas City Council, and I am still supportive and will always be supportive of the arts regardless of where it is. There is a disparity, and if we're going to put the cards on the table, then let's just put them out there. In TECO and the academy across the street and all those folks, and I've fought and I've said, if I'm going to support arts, and this is for the cultural affairs and everybody else, then I'm going to support arts, and I want everyone to have support. It makes no sense for us to go, and I'm just using TECO for example, for us to go to TECO and for the building to be in need of repair, and then the money is not there as supportive we are for art. Art to me is all art. Art to me is the folk dancers, the black dance theater, the musicals, the symphonies, everything, the natural science and the arboretum and all those things. If you really look at it and to see how that money is distributed. And if you were to evaluate, and I don't want to bring up the Grambling Prairie View game versus Texas OU and other football games, but it is not an equal playing field. And it pains me that when we have folks in need and we're supportive of the arts, that it's almost like we have to put on some knee pads and plead for $20,000 and an additional $50,000 when we sit here very proudly and stick our chest out when the Arboretum comes, and we will say to them, well, here's $563,000 $63,000 and to the other arts groups, if it's going to be a fair process, a fair evaluation, then let's make sure that we all have an opportunity. Then we won't find ourselves trying to figure out where to get money from. If indeed it was fair on the front end, we would not have to sit here and try to figure out how we can find a little money over here and find a little money over here. No one is so as supportive of the senior dental program than myself. Because last year this time, and you can play back the tapes, I know that I was very vocal about seniors wanting to be able to have a steak and eat a steak. And their teeth, in order to be able to chew into a steak, need to be in some type of good shape. Now, so the senior dentistry program, it needs more than $100,000. Okay? Let your own teeth come out, and then you want to go to a Steak and Ale or Outback Steakhouse and see yourself trying to chew on it. Now, so there's no doubt about the need for seniors to be able to have their dentistry. But it is no doubt that arts in the city of Dallas is not just on the other side of Woodall Rogers. It is also in Oak Cliff. It is also in South Dallas. And we must figure out a way to play fair ball. Now, that's really what this argument is, Mayor. It is simply about trying to distribute some money so that when you go to TECO and you have a sold-out house at TECO, that the toilets are not overflowing on the people that chose to go there because of a lack of plumbing and the need of that. And we talk private partnership, private-public partnership. Let's also know that TECO put a $1 million of their own money, didn't come to this city and ask for a dime to do nothing. To do nothing, and are a fair, outstanding participant when it comes to the art. I'm not going to sit here and put tape over my mouth and not be supportive and not call it the way it is. Now, Ms. Davis, I would suggest that what we should do is let's put this thing off, Mr. Atkins, as we said, if we could, Mayor, for a moment, and let's discuss it. Let's try to figure out how we can come together so that we can be unanimously supportive of things that we all stand for. We all stand for the seniors in the dentistry program, and we all stand for the arts, but we must figure it out.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Davis.
Thank you so much. And Ms. Carraway and to my other colleagues who have spoke of the arts, TECO is in a non, and she calls herself very diverse at Bishop and Tyler Street. She's a very diverse art theater. And when she found that building, she raised her own money, every dime of it. She didn't ask the city for one dime. Well, other art groups was coming down to the city and asking for money to build her own building. She did it with her own sweat and tears. And if you go to that theater now, it's a wonderful, wonderful theater. TECO, I mean, she has after school programs, and she is struggling just as hard as the Latino Culture Center, and others are struggling. And so to talk about, it went from $17,575 that the city manager recommended, now down to $14,660. This just does not make any sense. That we're debating a wonderful art theater over $14,000. And I'm glad she's not here, because I guarantee you she will have tears in her eyes to understand as much work she put in to this city, after school programs, summer programs, theater workshops, and on and on and on, for us to be debating over now $14,000 when she spent $1 million of her, I mean, she raised it. I was there with her. So, Mr. Mayor, I would like to make a motion that we put this on hold. Take this amount out and let's put it on hold so we can figure out a way to fund her $14,000. And when it comes to the arboretum, I remember last year I took $17,000 out of my budget to support the arboretum.
We will put this on the first item this afternoon. We'll do that. Just have a clarification for those that are maybe listening. And first of all, what is TECO? I mean, are we giving money to TECO or the Arts Education Program? Or are they the one and the same?
So this community development block grant budget is for concepts. Mm-hmm. If we have a current contract, then it would extend funding for that.
I'm sorry, Jean, I can't. Would you get closer?
Okay, so we're funding the concept of the Arts Education Program.
Yes, ma'am.
The incumbent vendor has been TECO. We will do, if this line item is funded, we will issue an RFP to seek a contractor for the program for the upcoming year.
Okay, thank you. And so they're the incumbent is what we're talking about. That's why we talked about TECO. Would you just to get the fact, and then we'll discuss it this afternoon. Last year, the arts education program was what amount?
So in 11-12 budget, it was funded at $21,000.
$21,000, okay. And this year, it would be funded at what if this amendment passed?
$14,060.
Gotcha. And then the clinical dental care was how much last year?
So in 11-12, the budget's $100,000.
$100,000?
Yes.
Okay. And it would be $14,000 less that. Is that
$85,940.
Thank you very much. Okay, good. Well, let's, Ms. Margolin, did you want to speak?
Yeah, I have a question. Ms. Davis made a motion. Do we need a second? Do
I don't
we need
think
to vote
we need
on that?
That's not a, we don't need a motion for that. We just need an agreement that I think I send my prerogative to put that item off until 1 o'clock. So we'll just do that at that time. Thank you. Next item. Before you do, I would like to recognize Dr. Beasley with El Centro College, okay, who has brought her class down. This is go to City Hall Day, I think. You'll be here this afternoon. And as you see, as they stay down here, there's a lot of democracy going on. So thank you for being here and participating in the city government. Appreciate it. Thank you. Excuse me?
I'm sorry. It's Middle College High School at El Centro. It's with Dr. Beasley.
Oh, good.
And
thank you.
Can we have them to stand up and we can recognize them?
Please stand up, all you students.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Yeah. Please. Go ahead, Ms. Rios. Next item.
We proceed now to addendum item number 8, which was pulled by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. Authorize number 1, an amendment to the interlocal agreement with the North Central Texas Council of Governments to provide traffic engineering services to update traffic signal timings and provide funding for traffic signal equipment at 11 locations. Number 2, an increase in appropriations in the amount of $215,100 in the North Central Texas Council of Governments Grant Fund. Number 3, an additional local match in the amount of $11,640 for the city's portion of the project. And number 4, acceptance of funds from Methodist Health System for their portion of the local match in the amount of $27,940.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Atkins.
Yes, Mayor. The reason why I pulled this, Mayor, that Charleston Medical Hospital is in my district. And for many, many years, probably the last 5 to 10 years, they've probably invested over roughly about $150 million. At that particular time, that they did not come before the city council to ask for a signal light, a traffic light, which they should have at the beginning. we at the city council and Mary Sue, we've been trying to figure out how can we budget this item. And as you know, money is tight at City Hall, and we could not find a way. But there was other sources out there that could come to the rescue with cars to fund the money. So this money is not coming from the city of Dallas, not coming from our general fund, it's coming from outside. In order to do, we just a conduit to pass this through interlocal agreement to get this traffic light there. If you're aware of Charles Medical Hospital, is right in front of Walmart. And Medical Hospital, they spend all the infrastructure work from Methodist to Walmart property to make sure the alignments will line up correctly for the city light as they charge to Methodist, not to Walmart. So they had a considerable amount of investment at that location. Especially at that particular location, their new open heart surgery portion of the hospital was going to be at that traffic light in the future, and that the traffic is very, very terrible at the location during the peak hour, especially during the emergency hour. I know we had Dan Eddie here, and I want Dan to come down for a second. But there is also a great concern that I have, Mayor, with the Go South. You know, we are talking about Go South. We also talk about health issues. We do have a health crisis in South Dallas. If you look at many of your city, your suburbs, Duncanville, DeSoto, Wilma, Hutchinson, Lancaster, Cedar Hill, that is on a hospital that you would come to before you come to Methodist on Colorado or come to Baylor, Presbyterian, or St. Paul. It's very, very crucial that that I'm going to be kind of biased to Charles Medical Hospital because my three grandkids was born there. My wife had a serious illness, and they did take care of great health there. There have been a whole lot of negative about Charles Medical Hospital in that particular area because of the emergency. There are some people on the council that have had that opportunity. They had their little one there and said, hey, why is we waiting so much in the ER? Why we cannot be served? That is a very, very terrible situation when you go to the hospital and have that negativity there. One reason I think we have there is that we, 3 or 4 years ago, or 2 years ago, we, the city of Dallas, would have a clinic, and we said we need to turn this over to the county. And I think Angela Hunt was saying that was the county business, that was the county responsibility to take care of those patients. It was not our responsibility. But we also got a responsibility in my district in Southern Dallas is that we need a clinic. We need a clinic to take off some of this heavy, heavy lifting of Charleston Medical Hospital in that area. And this is one of the hospitals, if you don't know, they do not turn away no one. Everyone who comes there, they serve that person. And remember, they do not turn away anyone to do that. And we need to get behind to see that we do need a clinic in that area. We need to talk to our county commission, our government officials, and how we can do it. I did receive a letter this morning from Marcus Knight, who is the chairman of the Best Mayors of Southwest, and I gave that to the city secretary. Will you please read that into the record, please?
The Best Southwest Partnership is seeking the support of the City of Dallas to urge the Parkland Board of Managers to build and maintain a much-needed Parkland Community-Oriented Primary Care, COPC, facility in close proximity to Methodist Charlton Medical Center. We are aware of at least two Parkland Health System-sponsored studies regarding the community needs for COPCs. Both of those studies clearly identified Southeast Dallas County as a high priority for these facilities. Providing these facilities is a primary responsibility of our Dallas County Hospital. Currently, there are a number of COPCs throughout Dallas County, and new facilities are being built in Irving and Grand Prairie. It is now time to support the needs of the Southern Dallas taxpayers and build in Southern Dallas County. Parkland is the only hospital in Dallas County that receives Dallas County ad valorem tax dollars to support the care of our local residents who lack the ability to pay. Records show that Parkland received approximately $394 million this last year from Dallas County taxpayers. Below are some facts that support the need for a COPC in our area. 1. Methodist Charlton experiences approximately 73,000 ER visits per year. Number 2. 89.1% of those visits are Dallas County residents. Number 3. 41% of the total visits are uninsured patients, and that number is growing at 2 to 3% per year. Number 5. 22% to 25% of these patients are non-emergent patients in need of greater access to primary care. Number 5. Currently out of network for the Parkland Medical Health Plan, termed by Parkland in 2011. Methodist Charlton has invested over $150 million within the last 3 years to improve facilities, grow clinical services, most recently adding open heart surgery, and continued recruitment of physicians at the rate of approximately 4 per year. Not only will a COPC in Southern Dallas County provide much-needed health care services for the residents, but it will allow Methodist Charlton to become more efficient in the overall operation of their emergency department. Requests and negotiations for this much-needed facility began over 5 years ago. Please assist by encouraging our Parkland Board of Managers and our Dallas County Commissioners Court to build this much-needed facility. The Dallas County and City of Dallas residents and taxpayers deserve no less. Honorable Marcus E. Knight, Chairman of the Board, Best Southwest Partnership.
Okay, with that, Daniel, could you come and give up just a quick, brief overview and what we're discussing?
Thank you, Councilman and Mayor and Council.
Will you put your mic up?
And City Manager Mary Soon. First of all, regarding the signal light, my apologies on behalf of Methodist Health System. Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins is absolutely right. Before we ever broke ground, we should have come to the city then and asked for assistance with the signal light. And we've worn the city manager out the last couple of years, and they've been great in the city staff to try to help us. We were able to come up with some other alternatives with the help from the North Central Texas Council of Governments, and if you approve this today, a much-needed signal light will be installed hopefully in the next few months. It's a very, very intense area. Not only is there Methodist, but as the Deputy Mayor Pro Tem said, directly across the street is a Walmart. And you're right, Councilman, we not only lined up our side, but we paid the $400,000 to line up Walmart's side. So we hope we will that you will approve that today and allow us to move forward. Regarding Councilman Atkins' other issue, and that's the need for Parkland to build a community-oriented primary care center, we've made tremendous investment, as the Councilman has said, $150 million in the last just the last 3 years alone to Charlton. The Lancaster Hospital closed several years ago. We're really the primary hospital facility in the farther southern part of Dallas and Dallas County. Our biggest issue right now is our emergency room. I believe Mayor Pro Tem Medrano had a relative that came in several months ago when we were hours getting to him, and we were very embarrassed about that. I think Senator Royce West had a family member there as well, and again, the wait was significant. We have no control over who walks through that our emergency room. Methodist Charlton currently is about 315 beds, and we had over 70,000 ER visits. And as I think the letter said, different numbers, but 20 to 40% at any given time shouldn't be there. They're coming in with cut fingers and think that they could go to a primary care center, but they can't because they don't have the money and nobody else will see them. We've worked with Parkland. We know that they're probably one of the finest community hospitals in the country, and they've got their own issues. But I've been personally involved for the last 5 years, and we've just not really got off of home base. For Methodist Charlton to continue to provide the service we want to provide to get wait times down for true emergent care patients and residents of Dallas, we've got to get some help out there, and the only way to do that is for Parkland to build a community-oriented primary care center somewhere near Dallas. So I'll answer any questions that I can.
Thank you, Mayor. Thanks for the opportunity.
All right, do I have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Thank you. Discussion, Mr. Allen.
You know, when it comes to primary care like this, and one of the things that I've alluded to a little bit in the past is, again, the number of ambulance runs that we have. And a lot of folks sometimes do not use that's their doctor, in a sense. And the sad part about it is, and I've said it over and over again, is that when we use an ambulance paramedic as a doctor, that's just a transition, a transaction, where someone goes and says, you know, put some Epsom salts or do this or that. Because 70%, from what I understand, 65 to 70% are non-transports. It tells me that I need more of a wholeness approach to the medical. I need these clinics that you're alluding to. So instead of a paramedic going out and doing something that's non-transport and then walking out the door, I'd rather have someone go to a clinic like this and not only treating their cuts, but maybe putting them on the scale and saying, well, you're 12 years old, you're 20 pounds overweight, mama, this is what you need to do to help with their care. So now you're providing our citizens truly medical, and I use the word wholeness care. It's the total picture. And so I can understand your concerns about how the emergency room would be backed up and how you need a clinic being provided for at the county level. So, Councilman Atkins, appreciate you bringing this to our attention.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you.
Council Mayor, thank you very much.
Thank you. Next item.
Addendum item number 10 is a resolution designating absences by Councilmember Jerry Allen and Councilmember Ann Margolin.
We have a motion and a second. All in any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number 11, I will read the following statement. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Again, addendum item number 11 is authorize a forgivable loan to Defenders of Freedom for the development of affordable housing for veterans to be located at 8714 and 8718 Dyceman Drive. This item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you. Mr. Cadane.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. This is a very unique situation where this gentleman who's developing these and the city's going in partners with him, they are helping veterans who are disabled veterans with families, and they're putting them in homes. So I think it's a fantastic event what's coming about, and I think we're going to probably see more than this. So I think it's very good, and it's going to be great for our neighborhoods to get these folks in there and work with them, help them, and help our vets. And this is just, it's fantastic. So I move approval of this, Mayor.
We got a motion, 2 seconds. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
That concludes your items for this morning, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We will reconvene at 1 o'clock. Thank you.
Recess at 10:17.
Okay. It is 1:10 p.m. We are now reconvening the Dallas City Council meeting for May 23rd, 2012. Ms. Rios, we had an item that we postponed, and it was item what?
Number 40.
We had an item number 40 this morning, and I think there's an idea of maybe pulling the motion back off, and Ms. Davis, do you want to make a new motion? You are, Turner.
Thank you so much. I would like to make a motion to hold over the arts education program for at least for 2 weeks. until we can work on finding some more extra dollars.
Okay, let me suggest this, okay? We need to approve the preliminary budget, okay?
Right.
So the motion is to approve the preliminary budget, but hold off final approval for 2 weeks if, in case there are any amendments.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
What do I need to do?
Okay, so first of all, would you withdraw your first motion?
Okay, I move that I withdraw my first motion that was put on the table.
Great. And now I'll let Mr. Atkins make a motion to approve the preliminary.
I'll make a motion to approve the preliminary budget, but the amendment, you know, for the motion on Adam
to bring the amendment,
bring the amendment back in the next 2 weeks.
Okay. So, do we have a second to that? Second. All right, now discussion. Mr. Cadane?
Does that mean we're going to approve the original motion and bring her amendment back?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Any other discussion?
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
If I may clarify, please.
Please.
There was a friendly amendment to the original motion, so is that friendly amendment withdrawn?
Yes. Yeah, the friendly amendment took the place of the original amendment, so that was the amendment.
Right.
Okay. So that's what was withdrawn. Ms. Grayson.
So, Mayor, I'm just trying to understand this. So this means that we're going to approve it the way it was submitted, but that the final vote on the budget doesn't come for 2 weeks. We could still move some line items around. Is that what that means?
Yes, ma'am.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Hotko.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to hear what our CDC members, what their input is on this. They were the ones that worked very diligently on what the original budget was. So I would like to call Mike Lavulo and Omar Narvaez to the podium, please.
Just a couple of minutes apiece.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, City Council members, for this time. We agonized, trust me, we agonized over making any cuts to anything. But unfortunately, as you all know, we're in dire straits with the budget. And the CDBG budgets have been slashed at a number that I have never seen before. And this is my third year on the CDC Commission. And trust me, art is an important part of the budget to us. However, the children and the seniors that are serviced in the dental care program, there's more of them. They're in higher need. Unfortunately, the biggest reason for children not to attend school is because their teeth hurt or they're hungry. And if we can't help them get their teeth fixed, they're not going to make it to get to school. How are they going to make it to an arts program that's after school? The children that will be affected by this is in greater numbers than the number that will be affected by the arts program. It's unfortunate. But I do believe that we can find a way through private help to find this money. I know that organizations that get the incumbent organization receives money from lots of major corporations, but the dental program does not. This dental program has already been slashed in half from the previous year. The 09-10 budget slashed it from to the 11-12 went from 200,000 to 100,000. So we already lost money there, and we're losing another amount of money there. We have public hearings as well, just like you guys do. And during those public hearings, nobody came in for the arts. They came in for the teeth. Earlier I heard about that the executive director of the organization, the incumbent organization, would be in tears if she saw what we were doing to this budget. Well, I can guarantee you that I would rather see her in tears than see the hundreds of children that are mouths hurt because they can't go to school because their teeth are coming in wrong or that they have cavities and they can't be helped out. I ask you to not allow this amendment to happen and to go with the unanimous decision that the CDC made, as well as the member that was representing Ms. Davis's council district.
Okay. Thank you. Let's try to stay on why you did what you did.
Yes,
versus
I will.
I'm fighting.
My name is Mike Lavolo, and I am the Vice Chair of the Community Development Commission, the senior person on the commission now, having served for 7 years for Mayor Pro Tem Maggiorano. This was a very difficult year. It was the worst year that we've had for our budget. Last year was bad enough that the budget was delayed. We got a little bit of a surprise at the end of the year when we were able to fund some other public service programs. The dental program that we're talking about this year had already been slashed from $200,000 from fiscal year 10-2011. And then last year, cut 50% to $100,000. And then this year, we had recommended that we keep it at $100,000. At $200,000, we served 600 children and seniors with dental care in the city. Last year, that figure was cut to 300. This year, if we left it at $1,000, we'd hopefully be able to serve 300 children and seniors. If we cut it to 85, the number's going to go even lower. Unfortunately, and I plead with this council, we had three districts that benefit the most from the federal funds that were unrepresented this year during our most important period, December through May, that had no appointments on our board. We spent countless hours at the board listening to public speakers, and we also went around to our public hearings that we held in January, and subcommittees met not only once, but in some cases two or three times to come up with this decision. Every single person on this board, including myself, supports the arts because it means those children are not in front of my house after school. Unfortunately, I want those children to be able to go to these arts programs, and we know what's going on with insurance, and we need the children's health before they can be involved in after-school or arts programs. So we did not come up with this just at a whim. Countless hours were spent. Tears were shed on this board by people, a board that is run by quite a few folks who perform duty to this city, and most everybody involved in nonprofit organizations on the board. So that's why we did make this decision. We'd like to see some more money back in the arts program. However, we took health and senior programs over the arts.
Thank you very much. Appreciate those speakers. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to thank my colleague, Carolyn Davis, for her remarks. And this is something where we're so close to doing, to getting everything done. If we've got a gap, if we've got a need, the need's $10,000, $15,000. Let's take these next 2 weeks and see if we can find some other mechanism to fill that gap so that we get everything funded to the level it's needed. So I think this will be just not really a delay, but time well invested over these next couple weeks.
Thank you, Ms. Davis.
And, thank you. Mayor, if we can move forward with it, and so we can finish up our agenda for the rest
thank,
of the day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We will. And I appreciate you saying that. So we'd like anybody to submit amendments within the next 2 weeks, and then final adoption will actually take place on June 27th when we vote on that, on June 27th. Thank you. We need to take a vote on that. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. All right. Let's, item 47, right? We're gonna move up one item.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I am required to read the following statement. The statement will also apply to items number 46 to 48, 56, and 57. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Agenda item number 47 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development district for a truck stop and turn MC1 multiple commercial district uses on property zoned in MC1 multiple commercial district on the northwest corner of Loop 12 and West Davis Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 16 notices to property owners with a 500 fee of their request, received one reply in favor and two replies in opposition.
Are there any speakers in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in opposition? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor, and this item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you for the opportunity. I make a motion that we move this forward.
We have a motion, second. Any discussion?
We need 2 seconds, sir.
Thank you. We've got the 2 seconds. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We proceed now to your consent zoning agenda. Your consent zoning agenda consists of items number 41 through 44. However, item number 41 has been pulled for individual consideration by Councilmember Grayson. I will read items 42, 43, and 44 into the record. Item number 42 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an IR Industrial Research District on property zoned in AA Agricultural District, southwest of Irving Boulevard, northwest of Pump Plant B Road. Number 43 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Phase 1A and 1B portion of Plan Development District Number 121 for TH4 townhouse district uses and GR General Retail District uses on the southwest corner of Walnut Hill Lane and North Central Expressway. Item number 44 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a Plan Development District for a community center in RGAS 7.5A single family district uses on property zoned in RGAS 7.5A single family district on the southeast corner of Gaston Avenue and Loving Avenue. Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the items read into the record? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Hunt.
I move to approve, Mr. Mayor.
And thank you. Do we have a second? Thank you.
And I also just wanted to point out item number 44 deals with a project in my district. The Trinity Lutheran Church on Gaston Avenue has been a vacant property for several years, and we're so thrilled to have the YMCA coming onto that property, investing millions of dollars to create an incredible community asset. So we're just thrilled about it. I welcome the Y there. They've been a terrific community partner throughout Dallas, but particularly in East Dallas at their current location. We're excited to see their new facility and welcome them. Thank you, Mr.
Great.
Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. On agenda item 41 over by City Place, I just wanted to make some general comments, which is
pull that for individual consideration.
Oh, right. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's okay. Let's vote on this, and we'll come to 41.
Okay.
Thank you. Any more on the consent agenda? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 41 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Tract 1 of Plan Development District Number 375 on the west side of North Central Expressway between Lemon Avenue and Blackburn Street.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, within 27 notices, owners of property within 5 or 3 of their request. We received 8 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Thank you.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hunt.
I think we do have some speakers.
Oh, we do?
Oh, I'm so sorry. You will be allowed 3 minutes to speak if you'll please state your name and address for the record.
Thank you. My name is Neil Sleeper. I'm with City Place Company. We're at 3324 Blackburn. I'd be happy to answer any questions, and other than that, I don't think I'll make any comment unless someone has a question for us.
Thank you. Ms. Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve this item.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, our project in Uptown has been remarkably successful. The City Place project, as well as West Village, it has not just revitalized the area, but it has brought a life and vitality to Uptown that it just didn't have before. And it's been incredible as well for our tax base. So it's been terrific. What we're talking about today is 3 tracts of property and allowing them to have an interim zoning use. Right now, it's zoned for a very intensive use. I believe one of the tracts, if not all of them, are zoned to have a companion tower like we have on the other side of Central Expressway, but it's all zoned for very high-intense mixed use. That isn't realistic on that property right now. We want to activate that. It's right around the DART station there and the turnstile for the trolley, and so we really want to bring some life and activity there. So I think this is a great plan to provide interim zoning as the market sets us up to do what was originally intended by this planned development district and build the rest of the area out. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hunt. Mr. Grayson.
Thank you. As I started to say before, I just had some general comments about this. Interim uses don't require any development plan. They don't require any minimum setbacks. And so that is of a concern to me in a general way, not on this particular case, because we all know what a tremendously good developer Mr. Sleeper is and his companions, and these are neat, neat interim uses. So I am going to be supportive of this, but I just wanted to get on the record my concern about some of the lack of requirements that interim uses have. And sometimes an interim use can last a very long time. The last interim use, the Hank Haney Golf Center, lasted 17 years. So sometimes an interim use is a very, very lengthy use, and I believe that when you came in for that before, Mr. Sleeper, there was a development plan, wasn't there? Yeah. So that's all. I just wanted to express my concern about that, and I will be supporting it.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. Any other comments? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 46 is a public hearing. I'm sorry, item number 45 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a child care facility on property zoned in MF-2A multifamily district on the south corner of Warhurst Avenue and Collins Drive.
Mr. Mayor, within 78 notices, property owners within 400 feet of the area request, we received 4 replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion myself.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and approve the recommendation of the City Plan Commission.
A motion and second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 46 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Plan Development District number 766 for a CR Community Retail District on the northwest corner of Northwest Highway and Hillcrest Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 110 notices to property owners from 500 feet of the air request, received no replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor?
Mr. Mayor, members of the Council, Dallas Cotham, 900 Jackson Street. This is maybe a sign things are turning around some. This property at the northwest corner of Hillcrest and Northwest Highway went back to the bank through foreclosure. It's been purchased by a local group, and we're very excited that we have one of the city's leading hospitals and research institutions that's going to come in and take an entire floor and stabilize the building, and going to add some dining options as well. So we appreciate working with the neighborhood and the Plan Commission and ask that you approve this. Happy to answer any questions that you have.
Are there any other speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor. The item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Margolin.
I move to close the public hearing and follow the City Plan Commission's recommendation for approval with the following change. The parking reduction for providing pedestrian amenities is limited to 5%.
We have a motion and 2 seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 47 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development district for a truck stop and certain MC1 multiple commercial. I apologize. Thank you.
We've already done that one.
Item number 48 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an MU2 mixed-use district on property zoned in IR Industrial Research District on the northeast corner of Research Row and Wadley Lane.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 9 notices to property owners within 400 feet of the area of request, received 2 replies in favor and no replies in opposition. I should note for the record that we have received correspondence from both the owner of the property and the applicant for this case requesting that it now be denied without prejudice.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers. Mr. Mayor, the item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Medrano.
Thank you, Mayor. And as Dave, Mr. Cotham mentioned, I have spoken with the owner and the applicant, and both would like for the council to close the public hearing and deny the change request without prejudice. So I'd like to move to close the public hearing and deny this zoning change request without prejudice.
We got a motion and a second. 2 seconds. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you.
Items number 49 and 50 were deleted on the addendum. Item number 51 is a public hearing on authorizing a public hearing to determine proper zoning on property zone plan development district number 316, the Jefferson Area Special Purpose District, including specific use permit numbers 1065, 1155, 1383, 1584, and 1789, and a portion of specific use permit number 1563 on property generally bounded by an alley between 10th Street and Sunset Street on the north, Beckley Avenue on the east, an alley between Page Avenue and 12th Street on the south, and an alley between Polk Street and Willamette Avenue on the west, with consideration given to appropriate zoning for the area, including use, development, standards, parking, landscape, sign, and other appropriate regulations. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item? Are there any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Are there any speakers?
Yeah. There's some Jefferson Boulevard Johnson.
Thank you. If you'll please state your name and address for the record, you will be allowed 3 minutes to speak.
I'm Eric Steele.
Jason Ryan.
We're with Aviation Cinemas. We operate the Texas Theater on Jefferson.
More or less.
Just one of two of you can speak. We don't need to do a duet thing.
Sure.
Doesn't matter. You can speak after him.
Sure. So thank you for the opportunity. We're just one of a collection of businesses on Jefferson. There's a great number of businesses that all have a common interest, which is to bring Dallas to Jefferson Boulevard. We believe that it's one of the most exciting streets in Dallas, and I think this change, this opportunity could do that. It could open up a door to bring more folks, to help the businesses that have issues with safety, with security, with lighting, with the openness of the street. And we're here to answer any questions, and we thank you for the opportunity.
Next speaker. Are there any other speakers on the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Medrano.
No, it's Ms.
Hasso. Excuse me.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, it is Ms. Hasso. I wanted to thank the Jefferson area merchants for coming down. Eric, Jason, I see Charles Z. and Juan Contreras. All of these folks have businesses in and around Jefferson. So thank you for coming down. And today I move to close the public hearing and approve the authorization.
Got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. I will say, Ms. Hasso, you were at college graduation. I got the opportunity to meet with some of the citizens at El Ranchito on this subject, and I think this is so exciting for Oak Cliff, for that area. It's a vibrant area. There are a lot of people there. There's some good businesses. And I think we can do amazing things by just getting organized. So thank you for your leadership in this, and I will work for you to make sure that we get the right plan in place. Thank you.
Item number 52 is a public hearing on the proposed fiscal year 2012-2013 operating capital grant and trust budget. We do have one individual signed up to speak, Josephine Orozco. Other speakers will be allowed to come up after Ms. Orozco speaks. Please state your name and address for the record.
Glad you. Let's give it to her. Go ahead. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem, and City Council. And thank you for the work that all of you do. There's not enough praise that goes around for all of you guys. It's a lot of hard work. My name is Josie Orozco, representing Senior Affairs Commission, District 3. And today what we're going to do is talk about our vision for recommended budgets that we would like for you to take under consideration, please. And what I'm going to do is make it very brief, and that's why you have a packet in front of you, so that you can go back review any questions that you might have regarding what we're speaking about. Our recommendations are to designate $500,000 for emergency home repair for seniors. Recommend senior citizen homestead tax exemption to be increased from $64,000 to $100,000. To increase to $200,000 for the dental health plan. To maintain funding for the senior services office. To increase funding to $50,000 to provide desperately needed employment assistance to low-income senior citizens. To approve the boarding house ordinance and to request recreation center hours and senior program. Regarding the boarding house ordinance, there's a package that is at the right behind it, and it talks about what is group housing facility and what the next step should be. So we're actually asking that this be considered as part of HB 216, that was adopted in 2009. And we would like to certainly provide better support for those people that are being abused in these boarding houses. I'm done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers on the item? Any other speakers on item number 52? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. To close and second to close the hearing. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. Can you clarify who made the second to close the hearing?
Ms. Sasso did.
Awesome. Thank you. Item number 53. I am required to read the following statement. Pursuant to Section 51A-6.108G3 of the Dallas Development Code, the applicant or licensed representative of the applicant who is familiar with the application must be present and available to answer questions. Would that individual please come forward and identify yourself? Would the individual identify yourself that's going to... Thank you. Please state your name and address for the record, sir.
My name is Brad Jackson. I'm with NSAFE, and we're at 4545 Fuller Drive in Irving, Texas.
Thank you very much. Item number 53 is a public hearing on a proposed municipal setting designation, MSD, to prohibit the use of groundwater as potable water beneath property owned by Terra Park Fourth LP, located near the intersection of Ross Avenue and Hardwood Street and adjacent street right-of-way, authorize issuance of an MSD ordinance and support the issuance of an MSD certificate to Terra Park 4 LP by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality and prohibit the use of groundwater beneath the designated property as potable water. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item? Are there any speakers? Please state your name and address for the record, sir.
My name is Scott Deffridge. I'm an environmental attorney with Patton Boggs representing Terra Park. As we've indicated, our technical expert is here, Brad Jackson with NSAFE. Also, our applicant representative, Don Taylor, is here. on behalf of Terra Park, and if there are any questions, we'd be happy to answer those.
Thank you, sir. Are there any other speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I will entertain a motion. Ms. Davis.
Mayor, we can approve this. I just have one question. Is which department handles this? Is it the zoning, Ron?
No, ma'am. It's actually under the Trinity Watershed Management folks.
Okay. I have I would like to have someone to come and brief me and Dr. Terry Flowers with St. Philip. They're interested in doing something similar to what we're doing today in that area.
I'd be happy to provide a briefing to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do you want to make that motion? Oh, I'm sorry. It was already... Ms. Hill? Sorry. Ms. Hunt. Thank you. Ms. Hunt did. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Thank you. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 54 is a public hearing on readopting and continuing, in effect, Chapter 12, City Youth Program Standards of Care of the Dallas City Code, to reestablish standards of care for certain city-sponsored youth programs in compliance with state law, and at the close of the hearing, approval of an ordinance to readopt Chapter 12 of the Dallas City Code. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item? Are there any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We have a motion.
Second.
We have a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 55 is a public hearing regarding an amendment to Chapter 51A, Dallas Development Code, Section 51A-5.102 of the Dallas City Code to adopt the Kaufman County map, which become effective on July 3, 2012, as a requirement of the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? Any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to close the public hearing and move this forward.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 56 and 57 do need to be considered collectively and will be read simultaneously. Also, item number 56 and 57 were corrected on the addendum simply to correct the numbering of the item from 55 to 56. Item number 56 is a public hearing on amendments to Tax Increment Financing Reinvestment Zone Number 7, Sports Area TIF District, and the project in Reinvestment Zone Financing Plans for the Sports Arena TIF District 2, Number 1, add two new sub-districts within the Sports Arena TIF District, 1A, Riverfront Gateway Sub-District, and 1B, West Dallas Sub-District. Number 2, increase the geographical area of the Sports Arena TIF District to add approximately A, 4.5 acres to the Victory Sub-District, generally the original Sports Arena TIF District boundary, B, 33 acres in the Riverfront Gateway Sub-District, and C, 89.2 acres in the West Dallas Sub-District. Number 3, extend the termination date of the Sports Arena TIF District for a 10-year period of December 31, 2018 to December 31, 2028 for the Victory Sub-District, and establish a termination date for the Riverfront Gateway and West Dallas Sub-Districts of December 31, 2042. Number 4, decrease the percentage of tax increments contributed by the City of Dallas during the extended term of the TIF District and establish other taxing jurisdictions' participation percentages. Number 5, increase the Sports Arena TIF District budget from approximately $46,951,785 total dollars to approximately $273,599,175 total dollars. Number 6, create an economic development TIF grant program within the district and adopt program guidelines. And number 7, make corresponding modifications to the Sports Arena TIF district map, budget and project, and reinvestment zone financing plans. Number 57 is an ordinance amending ordinance number 23688 and ordinance number 24002 to reflect these amendments. Are there any speakers that would like to speak on item number 56? Are there any speakers? If you would please state whether you're in favor or in opposition. Please state your name and address for the record.
I don't know if I'm in favor or opposition. I'm just trying to find out if West Dallas is in the TIF district. Do that mean that West Dallas is going to get some TIF money? How does that work? Is it for West Dallas? Appreciate it, my first.
Are there any other speakers? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor. This item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Atkins.
Yes, Mayor. This item came to economic development, and I think this is a great opportunity, especially for West Dallas. We are trying to spend this TIF district also make sure that some of the infrastructure in West Dallas would get taken care of. One thing, the city will own the garage and the land. They will definitely own that. It was also connect West Dallas to Trinity River and to the Victor substation. The TIP investment is going to leverage $133 million, is going to leverage roughly about $464 million private investment. They're going to increase the profit value probably about $1.5 billion in 2028. Mayor, I think this is a great opportunity in how we leverage money. How we expand, when you expand a TIF district and have more revenue come in, it's kind of at the end of the day that the reunion, the American Airlines Center, and the parking garage we have now, it's kind of make sure that in the future that we see an opportunity to build something around it. It's bringing the economic opportunity back to the Victory. With that, Mayor, I'm going to close the public hearing and move for this to go forward.
Thank you.
Second.
You've got 2 seconds. Ms. Medrano.
Thank you. I just want to add that this also will connect multiple neighborhoods as well. So I think Mr. Councilmember Atkins said it really well, but I think the most important is it's going to make all those connections, West Dallas Gateway, Riverfront Gateway, and also really downtown in Victory.
Thank you, Ms. Medrano. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
That does conclude your items for consideration today. We will now proceed with speakers.
Before we do, I'd like to recognize again this afternoon a new class, Dr. Beasley from El Centro College, bringing in her class. Would you guys stand up? And we always like to welcome our guests. Thank you for being here. It's, believe it or not, it's a short city council meeting today, so I don't know if that's good or bad for you, but it is. Okay. Mr. Atkins.
I just want to make an announcement. I know last year, Amar Golden, you know, came to the Night of the Symphony at Paul Quinn College. And just let everybody know, tonight is the night at 8 p.m. at Paul Quinn College, the Night of the Symphony. This is the second year they came there. It's free, and please come, bring your lawn chairs, your pillow jerry, and a wildcat is welcome to come. Remember, start on time, 8 p.m. tonight at Paul Quinn College.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Judge Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to congratulate our employee, Benny Jones. Mr. Benny Jones has been re-elected. Can he come out, or is he? Where is he?
He has been re-elected
to the City Council of the City of Wiley. He is the first African American ever elected in that city to the governing body. And as all of you sitting around this horse, you know, anybody can get elected one time, but if you get re-elected, that is something to truly celebrate. Congratulations, Benny Jones.
Thank you, Ms. L. Ms. Davis.
Thank you so much. I would also like to thank the City of Dallas and Code for a citywide cleanup day on May 19th. I had two neighborhood groups in my district who participated in a citywide cleanup. I was able to mow 4 lots on my own. And so it was really, really good. We brought a lot of kids out to Dauphin Heights, Ms. Anna Hill. She had about 150 volunteers. St. Philip Neighborhood Association, they brought out about 90 kids to their cleanup. And I want to thank also Action Metal, who participated with the cleanup in the St. Philip's area. And then I had another one in my district who had a really, really nice cleanup. And these are a bunch of seniors who got out and just kind of cleaned their area up. So, but I think the citywide cleanup overall was great. And I just want to thank staff for what they've done and the City of Dallas for participating in the citywide cleanup.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Mr. Allen.
And I just want to give a shout out to the young adults that are here. Councilwoman Alonzo, she had to leave. She's not here right now. But earlier today, we talked about really how special y'all are. And you're a special group of students, of young adults, and kind of picked. And so your futures have got to be bright. I just want to let you know that one of our council ladies, and again, unfortunately she had to step away, was just saying some really neat things about you behind your back. And you got somebody saying nice things about you behind your back, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So congratulations to you, particularly for all the hard work y'all do.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Allen. Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor. And let me just chime in and say anytime we're talking about citywide cleaning up and all those great things, certainly we're to be should be recognized for the fact that before we can deal, we must clean it up. We got a big project tomorrow. We'll unveil it again tomorrow. A lot, Ms. Madrona, is happening in your area, and Mr. Atkins in your area, Ms. Davis in your area, Mr. Griggs in your area, and in a lot in my area. But it's all for the City of Dallas. Ms. Hunt, when we continue to move forward in getting people to volunteer to take care of their own communities, and we build it and we clean it up, folks enjoy life. This is a part of quality of life. This is a part of being happy when you go into your house is already clean. Maybe the maid has been there to make the bed up. All you got to do is go in and say, hey, look, I'm home. Well, and that's the same way we should feel in our communities, through our parks and our neighborhoods. And as long as they're clean and we keep this cleanup effort going, and not just in one area but across the city, we're all doing the right thing. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway. And I was going to brag because I mowed 2 lawns, but you beat me. If you mowed 4, you double my effort. So it was a my, trust me, my lots were small too. But it was a great day. It was a beautiful afternoon and day. And I do want to brag on Miss Anna Hill and her garden in Dauphin Heights. It's one of the best gardens in the city. Big old zucchinis and great greens and roses, and it was beautiful stuff. It was a good day. Let's do our speakers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Your afternoon speakers are going to begin with Nikki Thompson, Cameron E. Williams, Ozumba Lunch, William Hopkins, Gwen Wooten, Richard Sheridan, Bruce Davenport, Robert Ciccarelli, Steve Mathis, LaCoya London, Frank Ward, and Lakeisha Johnson. If those individuals would please come closer to the podium, it will provide less inconvenience to the remaining speakers that follow. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant-at-Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. When the timer turns to 0, please allow the next individual their turn. Your first speaker is Nikki Thompson. Not present. Cameron E. Williams. Ozumba Lunch will follow. Please state your name and address for the record.
Antonio Everett, 7220 Southwest Moreland, Dallas, Texas. We're with the Neighborhood Assistance Corporation of America. We have some palm cards we wanted to pass out to everyone. We have our American Dream event in Dallas, Texas, June 7th through 11th. It's going to be in Fair Park from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. We are here to provide assistance for home buyers and homeowners. Anyone who's having an issue with an unaffordable mortgage, we're here to solve that issue. All of our services are absolutely free, and we're also here to help homeowners who are not currently in a home help purchase a home. We do offer the best mortgage program in America, no down payment, no closing costs, no fees, and no perfect credit. We wanted to ask for your support. This is a free event in Fair Park, and it is June 7th through June 11th, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Thanks.
Next speaker is Ozumba Lunk. I'm sorry, is it Cameron Williams, Mr. Williams? Thank you.
Mayor, don't turn my speak off, please, sir. With God, all
okay.
Things are possible.
Mr. Lunk, if you don't mind, we do have one individual before you.
Oh,
we have some unscheduled speakers. We do apologize. Thank you. Cameron Williams, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Honorable Mayor, honorable council members, my name is Cameron Evan Williams, Sr. I'm the founder and sole proprietor of the Dallas Disabled Homeless War Veterans Organization. I have been in place 3 years, 2 months, and 25 days. In the time that I've been in place, I've taken 40% of my income, which is 100% disabled veteran income, and I've distributed to homeless people that need assistance with their rent or with deposits to obtain an apartment or their credit fees in order to obtain an apartment. I'm nonprofit. The package that I'm distributing to you will show my Dun & Bradstreet number, EIN number, and my Better Business Bureau A-plus rating. Our goal with this organization is to catapult our organization to a position where we can assist more homeless veterans and citizens alike. Our primary goal is to restore these people to a position in life where they're productive, prosperous, tax-paying citizens. We only ask that the mayor and the city council will extend us the opportunity to be placed on the list for the CDBG funds so that we can bid for those funds in order to obtain a better position in helping the homeless. At this time, I'll entertain any questions that you have and address them.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yes.
We'll definitely move. Do you know how to the folks to get a hold of?
I do. I have connection
okay.
with.
Great.
Person.
Thank you.
So contact them.
Thank you. Please do.
Thank you, sir.
Your next speaker is Ozumba Lunk. Thank you for your patience, Mr. Lunk.
Mayor, City Council, Ozumba Lunk. With God, all things are possible. God rules, and God will be the final judge. And I do believe we are living in Revelation now. The so-called Negro needs to reassess itself, needs to review and go back. I'm asking the state for exoneration for my son, complete exoneration and restitution for my son. Because I know he's been in the pen for 12 years, and he's innocent. I didn't find out until the guy that sent him there was a drug dealer, too,
he got immune to some kind of way, come back and point a gun at me 3 years later while he was gone, and the police gone away. And when the police did an investigation, I don't know what they did, but I've been to the police academy. I'm T-Close certified. I also proud to investigate. I know the rules. I know the law. And they didn't do an investigation. Everything had been tampered with, the crime scene. And it was just terrible. It was terrible the way they did the so-called Negro, which is always happening anyway, never stopped. Just like I said, I remember back in the 50s and 60s, at least it was for real. It was for real. I liked it better like that. It's not real, and it's all fake. My son been gone for 12 years, like I said. And the guys didn't supposed to have guns. Those guys had guns. I've seen them with guns all the time, up and down the street, in front of my house, behind my house. I knew those guys for years. I've been in West Dallas 63 years. I was 66 this past Sunday. The son... The guy that testified against like son, like say he was a lookout man. They tried to give me 6 months for defending my life. I found out Mike Dupree orchestrated this whole thing because he didn't want me to run for constable against him. And other police officers, peace officers told him about it. They were involved also. Just because I wasn't a polished shoe, you know, kiss rear end brother, you know, Negro, and all that stuff, you know, they did me like this shit, you understand me? I want to be a man just like all of you men, Merrill. My constitutional rights been violated and everything. So, you know, with Dart, the county, the city, just like I said, you all owe me. I'm looking for $1 million out of you. Don't laugh. God may take it some other kind of way. Maybe I don't get it. Hey, that's fine. I already know the deal. But at least I know up front you screwed me and I was looking at it and I knew better. God bless y'all. And hopefully he'll answer some of my prayers. I am going to look forward to having a march sometime in July, peace of march, protest, see about the way people are being treated. I mean, all poor people, black, Mexican, poor white, you know. I know it's funny, but you know what? I know a lot of people with big money, they leaving it here every day. They power, you call it, I call power death, you know what I'm trying to say? So, you know, God has a way of taking care of things. So if you believe in God and you're Christian, be careful. Be careful how you deal with your children. God bless you all. Have a good day.
Thank you. Your next speaker is William Hopkins. Mr. Hopkins will be followed by Gwen Wooten, Richard Sheridan, Bruce Davenport, Robert Ceccarelli, Steve Mathis, LaCoya London, Frank Ward, and Lakeisha Johnson.
Mayor Rollins, is there a map? You was reading about the TIF district was in West Dallas. Is it a map or something that outlined what the TIF was going to do in West Dallas? Do you know of a map that the Trinity River was going to do work in West Dallas? Is it a map, some kind of map that outlined what the TIF and the Trinity River going to do in West Dallas?
It's based on the tax increment that this creates gets reinvested in that area.
Is it a map to show me where?
No, it's really not. It depends on what is being invested and what is created from a value standpoint. So it's a formula that we approve, not the exact amount.
Is it the whole West Dallas with a chip?
No, a certain
okay,
part
that,
of
that's
it.
That's why I asked. Is it a map or something to show me where?
Or a map.
Huh?
Yes, there's a map. It's in the public information, that
okay,
map.
What part of, is it a map that you didn't understand when I first asked you that question, Mayor Wallace?
Your time's...
I know. There is a map.
Yes.
Okay. Is there any kind of way I can get my hands on a map?
We will get you a map.
Okay. West Dallas is under Superfund by the EPA. Did you know that? Mayor Rollins, you always tell me, ask you and speak to the mayor. Mayor Rollins, did you know that West Dallas is under Superfund by the EPA?
I say speak to me, not ask me questions, because you'll stump me.
So speaking to you,
okay,
not asking your questions.
We've got a map. If you want to see a map, we'll bring it right over there,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah. Somebody can bring it.
Yeah.
You use my time and bring it.
Go ahead.
Okay. Did you know there was a EPA Superfund in West Dallas, Maryland?
I'm just going to listen today.
Did you know that there's blacks and Hispanics dying from lead and asbestos, and there is a superfund that supposed to help the blacks and Hispanics in West Dallas, Merrill Island? People dying. Children is dying. The learning, the schools. Merrill Island, did you know that the EPA dug up every school in West Dallas for lead and asbestos over the years? Did you know that? So you just really listen to blacks and Hispanics dying. By you being white, it's okay with the blacks and the white and the Jewish people here, Vonzia Hill, Dwayne Carraway, to sit here and let you say nothing about blacks dying and Hispanics, Ms. Medrano. Thank you.
Thank you. The map's right over here. If you want to see it, they've got it right here for you. All right, you don't want a map. All right.
Your next speaker is Gwen Wooten. Ms. Wooten will be followed by Richard Sheridan.
Good afternoon. My name is Gwen Wooten. To the Dallas City Council. My grandmother was born in Dallas in 1876. My father in 1914 and I in 1944. My mother was murdered on Leonard Street in June 14, 1952. The Dallas police talked to her murderer, and she said it was self-defense, and she killed two other people after she murdered my mother. Tommy Lee Walker was executed. It's not my language, so if I'm not perfect with this, since it was stolen, it's okay. Tommy Lee Walker was executed when I was in elementary school. Later, they found out his husband had broken out of jail and raped and murdered her. James Charles Brown was murdered by two police officers in the city of Dallas and thrown in the back seat of a car in full military uniform. My husband Charles Wooten, his mother and father bought a home at 3317 Pueblo Mill, Rawlings. I'm not talking no comic strip. I'm serious. You know this. They bought a home to take care of their children and raise their family. It was lead poisoning. My mother-in-law planted food in the backyard to feed her grandchildren. They were poisoning. There's a $26 billion settlement in this city that poverty-stricken people, welfare recipients, public housing residents are supposed to receive from the city of Dallas. And it's, what y'all doing with it? Where is it? Where is this money? $600,000 apiece for people who have been poisoned in West Dallas, and I want my money. I ain't never asked y'all for no money. I sure didn't know you had no $600,000 that belonged to me. That's $2.4 million for my children. I can't buy a McDonald's chicken sandwich. And you got $600,000 building bridges, poisoning water, blood in rivers, and y'all sitting up here laughing, ignoring this community, and acting like we're not here. You killed my mother. You enslaved my ancestors. And now you got money that's owed to me. And I called him last week and told you what happened to my man, so you know about that too. It's over. It's time to stop. It's going full circle. You started it, and it's going to end on you. And as y'all have taught us with this Holy Bible that you gave the Africans when they came here, you shall reap what you sow. Thank you.
Your next speaker is Richard Sheridan. Mr. Sheridan will be followed by Bruce Davenport.
Thank you, Ms. Wooden. I'm here to speak about the RSR-led Superfund site community poisoning settlement. Last Thursday, May 16th, at 10 a.m., Rod Givens, Congresswoman Eddie Bernice Johnson, Chief of Staff, threw six people out of the Congresswoman's office. The six were Otis Fagan, his two associates, myself, Gwen Wooten, and a Dallas News reporter. We were there to meet with Mr. Givens about the RSR lead contamination Superfund site, pleading for the Congresswoman's help in getting the city of Dallas to follow the court order, which would disperse billions of dollars to the now 15,000 residents, former residents of West Dallas, now dying of lead poisoning. Already 11,000 people, mostly blacks, have died of lead poisoning in West Dallas. Mr. Fagan, a black man, has been fighting the Dallas political machine for years to achieve the social justice to the black community of the financial compensation to those 15,000 alive and dying today. Those in need of the best health care, to pay for the past medical bills, and to compensate them for the pain and suffering damages. I spoke of this tragedy at the Trinity River Tollway public hearing, where I stated the two biggest cases of environmental racism in Dallas history are the RSR lead contamination in West Dallas and the theft of the Trinity River Park. I set up a meeting between Mr. Fagan and Rod Givens after the first meeting with Givens, the week before with Gwayne Wooten. Mr. Givens, a black man, throwing four great black activists fighting for the cause of the biggest case of environmental racism out of his office, resulted in my writing the following to honor all blacks in Dallas and throughout the nation. This would be spoken as if I am an informed black man in Dallas. When I refer to the, quote, all caps white man, I refer to the plus or minus 5% of the white community, not the majority. You have us live near levees as the land is the cheapest and it is a dangerous place to live. You have us live near sewage treatment plants where the air sickens us. You build low-cost housing near the RSR's lead smelter. You put our children, our kids, next door to the poisonous RSR plant. You have us involved in the worst epidemic of HIV in the black community in the state of Texas. You won't provide us with healthy food in our communities, and so we are the sickest Dallas residents. You promote abortion to us, the number one killer in the black community in New York, where there's a 60% kill rate of black fetuses. Instead of a white woman's procedure, you like doing hysterectomies on our women. Your modern-day slave ships, the state prisons, make lots of money for the white man, and now you are going after our children. And City of Dallas, you won't follow a court order to get the money to those 15,000 black dying of lead poisoning, which would help ease their pain and save their lives. Are you telling us something, Dallas white man? In honor of William Hopkins and Gwayne Wooten, who lost family members from lead poisoning in West Dallas, I finish with. Are you telling us, white man, die, black people die? Is a white man now saying we don't need as many of you blacks anymore like in slave times? We now have machines and illegal immigrants. Die, black people die. This is either the bigger secret or now the most obvious agenda of the white man in Dallas and in our nation. And the most disgusting part of this is that the four black members on the city council are either knowingly or ignorantly participating in the genocide of the black community. Congresswoman Betty Bernice Johnson has participated willingly, and she must be defeated next Tuesday. God bless us. May God's will be done. Thank you.
Your next speaker is Bruce Davenport. Mr. Davenport will be followed by Robert Ciccarelli and Steve Mathis.
Yes, my name is Bruce Davenport. I live at 4717 Columbia Avenue, apartment 101, Dallas, Texas, 75226. And I wish to apologize to the City Council, men and women. I'm sorry for my last past actions to you on May 9th. I apologize. I beg for your forgiveness. It is with deepest regret that I must inform you my wife and me a very sad decision. It is our intention, even with the somewhat due financial hardship, we will relocate back to Oklahoma. I came back to Texas wanting Texas to be my home the rest of my life. I have difficulty here in obtaining affordable housing. I'm on a fixed income. I deal with racism and outright discriminatory practices towards the handicapped by the landlords here, okay? I have two outstanding fair housing complaints against my current landlord and my previous landlord. I'm truly sorry. I wanted to make Dallas, Texas my home. I'm deeply impressed by the advances you've made with this city in the last 30-some-odd years since I've been here. Okay, I left here in 1980 when I joined the Army, okay? I came back and saw all these improvements. Wow, was I impressed. The amount of autonomy and the way I was able to move around being a handicapped individual was really impressive. Okay, I really like getting around here. The autonomy I have here is extremely impressive, and I think it's a great place to live, but I just have a hard time finding a place to live here. I'm truly sorry, and I beg the council's forgiveness for what I did last time I was here.
Your next speaker is Robert Ceccarelli. Mr. Ceccarelli will be followed by Steve Mathis, LaCoya London, Frank Ward, and Lakeisha Johnson.
Good afternoon, Robert Ceccarelli, 2218 Norwood Drive. I spoke last week. It was in yesterday's paper. William McKenzie wrote the editorial forewarning the district that there will be some firings, a lot of firings of the teachers next year. What he's doing with the top of the level, what do you think he's going to do with the teachers? Why I bring this up again, sir, Mr. Mayor, is that that alleged scandal that was written in the Atlanta paper about DISD has to do with teachers trying to get promotions, sir. And now, the word is, what I'm looking at right now is that they're going to try, if you're not going to say anything about it, or if Mr. Blackburn doesn't say anything about it, they're going to try, I'm talking about the teachers, my opinion only, if this is going to happen, it's going to be a very, very big scandal next year. So please, sir, say something about this alleged scandal, if you're interested in DISD, and if you don't say anything, it's just going to grow bigger and bigger, and they're going to try to test everybody, because it's going to be desperation. This time it's for their job. So I'm just forewarning everybody. Ms. Davis, I mean, Mr. Rollins, if you're interested, please say something about it. DISD hasn't said anything about it, so please do something. Also, I was at the Housing Committee on Monday, and Ms. Davis mentioned about education. Lincoln High School and Madison are in that area, and the best way to get the people down there is improve the schools. And the best way to do that is what I suggested, is the tutoring after each class, and that'd be the best possible way of getting the SAT scores up. And I really, really hope you push each city council member, go to your own district, I know Mr. Griggs mentioned it, that push your own school board trustee to do it. Because, like I said, this will give confidence to the teachers that they're doing their job the best way they know how. All right? It's unprecedented what's going on with this at Lincoln High School. All right? So please do that, because the teachers have more comfortable with themselves and with the students, and that way the scores will probably go up a lot. That way you can get more people in South Dallas that want to go in if the SAT scores up. Right now Lincoln High School is 751 SAT scores. Average in Dallas is 860. Fort Worth is 920. A lot of work to be done. If you do it, I'm sure that these scores will go up a lot higher. Parental involvement. Mr. Carraway's wife, she does a lot of footwork trying to get people to get people's votes. I'm trying to say with parental involvement is that, I need another 30 seconds, please, on this, is that what you have to do is go do the footworking with the and I'll start next week. Thank you.
Your next speaker is Steve Mathis. Steve Mathis, not present. LaCoya London, not present. Frank Ward is not present. And Lakeisha Johnson, not present. Mr. Mayor, that concludes your speakers.
Thank you. Meeting is adjourned, 2:19 p.m. Thank you.